Hello, and welcome to I Hate Talking, a podcast about talking, including etymology, frustrating topics, current events, and other random subjects. I'm Adam.
And I'm Steph. We are married, and we invite you into these discussions with us as we talk about the good and the bad of talking.
We hope you enjoy today's episode. All right, and we are back for episode 3 of I Hate Talking. And just like always, we are going to start out with a word of the day or phrase of the episode. And today's word or phrase of the episode is homonym. And that is something that we started getting into a little bit last episode when we were talking about ant or ant. So homonym is a word that is in some form or fashion the same as another word. And in this case, it's a word that sounds the same, but is spelled differently. There's also a homophone and a homograph, which are subcategories of homonyms.
Mm-hmm.
So a homonym also could be like lie and lie, where it's an untruth, or if you're reclining. So that would be a both homophone and homograph, because it's both the same spelling, so it looks the same, as well as the same pronunciation, so it sounds the same.
Would you count that if it's the same spelling, different pronunciation, like read and read?
So read and read are still a homonym because it would be a homograph because they look the same, R-E-A-D and R-E-A-D, read and read?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you talking about the color?
No, I'm talking about, like, I read this book or we will read this book.
Yep, so that would be still a homonym because it looks the same. But it does get into a more specific category of a heteronym because it looks the same, which would be a homograph, but it has different pronunciations and even different meanings. So another example of that would be desert, like the arid region, or desert, like if you were to leave a particular group.
Oh, or I, as you were hearing that, I heard something different. I heard dessert, like, ooh, ice cream. I know the difference between desert and dessert, because dessert, you always want double of.
And that would be the two S's, which is a good example of a heterograph, where it has a different spelling and a different meaning, but it still actually could be a homophone and a heterograph at the same time. So that would be like our example in dessert, where you leave, or dessert, where you are going to enjoy a tasty treat. Another example of that would be the word two, or two, where the number two, or if you're going to somewhere. So that's a heterograph. It has different spellings, but it's still a homophone because it sounds the same.
I feel so bad for people that learn English as a second language.
Yes, English is very fun. So another thing that you can consider is synonyms or antonyms. So actually, I guess in a sense, a heterograph and a homophone are synonyms, and a heteronym and a homophone are synonyms.
Hmm. It's interesting.
That is interesting. But I think we can all be thankful that there's no such thing as an uncle nym. All right, so we are going to get into the topic of this episode, and we are going to be talking on a continuation of our who, what, where, when, and why. So in episode 3, we are going to be talking about where people hate talking. So where are some places that people may hate talking?
Oof. Personally, I definitely hate talking in lines. Maybe when the checkout person is trying to have a conversation and I just want to get my stuff and go home. Or maybe I'm in a line to try to get something and we start chit-chatting, small talk with the person behind me. I would rather just get my items and leave. And that would be where I instantly go to, I don't want to talk here.
That's interesting. So it goes back to even some of those topics that one may hate talking about is some of those surface level topics like the weather or just those niceties that exist in terms of how to be polite in conversation. It's almost a cultural expectation that we talk within these social settings of waiting in line or some particular setting where we may have a shared experience of delay or something of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in our marriage, we've lived in several different states, moved around the country, and I have noticed regionally how different some cultures are, some areas, and how the cashier maybe will be very chatty about what I'm buying or asking how I'm doing today. Where I grew up, it was very transactional. Here's your item, pay for it, and leave. So I had a hard time in some of the cultures we've come from or lived in, being respectful and slowing down and having these conversations with them when that was not how I was raised.
And then I think I actually have somewhat the opposite experience because in a lot of those social settings, it is going to be talking to the person and then in all likelihood, I will never see or talk to that person again. Or if we somehow encounter one another again, it's more than likely we won't even remember previous conversations. Mm-hmm. And I think that also goes back to the control factor that we talked about in the very first episode where perhaps my personality is going to be more focused on making sure that the conversation is handled appropriately and has a good outcome for those people that I am particular about and will have future conversations with.
So that's super interesting. So you're saying as you're having these conversations, knowing you probably will not talk to them again, or if you do, you won't remember it or they won't remember it, but you are trying to respect that moment and value that person. Where I would come from the other side that we won't see each other again, we won't remember each other again, so let's get the business done.
Yep, I think that's a very fair observation.
Well, you sound much nicer.
Well, there are certainly are places that I hate talking. I think this may be some other places that a lot of people may hate talking is at bars or concerts where there is a actual physical limitation in terms of how you may be able to hear, just physically hear the person, or how you may be able to understand them just because of the lack of interaction, both from a verbal as well as physical cue perspective.
So would you suggest not even having conversations then as you're having a hard time hearing them? Or is that a more personal preference?
So that would actually be a scenario where if there's somebody that is just an acquaintance or somebody that I've just met that I will put less emphasis on trying to carry on that conversation. Whereas if it's somebody that's actually present with me that I care about or that I want to actually have that conversation with, that I will be more invested in putting forth the effort to have that conversation in a noisy or distracting environment.
So it sounds almost like it bleeds into who you're with. Because I know personally, as we're in groups, if you and I are out on a date, we've paid for a babysitter. I value that time a lot because we don't get that often. It's expensive because we're at a date and a babysitter with all our kids. So when other people have conversations with us, I get frustrated because I feel like they're intruding on our time. But if I'm out with a friend, and they come, another friend comes up and chats. That's not necessarily intruding. I mean, it could be, but it's not necessarily intruding on our time. It is investing in these relationships and getting to know the person.
Yeah, so I think when it all comes down to it, it does go back to the root of where we are placing our value in terms of both our own comfort as well as the perceived value that we are either investing or receiving from other people that we may hate talking to.
So would it be, I'm trying to think of how you would word it, where the, your example of the concert, if your value is you're at this concert to listen to this musician, you might not want other people having a conversation about their albums or somebody else's similar album that just released because you're wanting to listen to the musician. Or is that completely subjective based on your personality and your values?
Yeah, there's an interesting nuance there because what I was originally describing is just the fact that having a conversation in a loud and distracting environment is just in and of itself difficult. Mm. So therefore, there may be people that hate talking in those environments. But I think what you were just hitting on is that there's also that intrinsic value on the time that I'm spending, whether the focus is on the concert and the music and the musician that's playing, or if I am in some way valuing the conversation that I'm having with the person because I'm learning something new about another artist or something else related to maybe even the album of the musicians that's playing.
That makes sense. And I think the thought of like where you put the value, if it's on the musician we're listening to or the date night versus maybe the broader question of where, which is what we started with, in like, are you thinking where it's socially appropriate or inappropriate? Like there are some places when you're in the bathroom, not necessarily socially appropriate to have a deep conversation with the person in the stall beside you.
So that's an interesting concept because I think in the men's room, sometimes that is socially acceptable. Is that different in the women's room?
So you have deep conversations with your friends or with strangers? I didn't know this.
So it's interesting category of whether it's a deep conversation. I would maybe categorize it as either a serious or non-serious conversation, right? Where the maybe a non-serious conversation is about the weather or plans that you might have for later in the day. Whereas you might have a serious conversation, especially in the workplace related to maybe a meeting that you just got out of or a particular subject that is a hot topic within the workplace. And those things can happen in the men's room.
I don't think I knew that. I thought socially, I feel like every time I've heard it, the men are very silent and quiet, where women go to the bathroom in groups and they chit chat. As peers, if I'm with a friend in the bathroom, we will continue our conversation. We don't stop. I will not have a conversation with somebody I don't know unless it's them asking for toilet paper or maybe some kid crawled underneath the stall and we have to talk about that to the other mom. There's been one time, anecdotally, that we were at a bar early on in our marriage and some lady asked me to look at this stick that she had used in the bathroom to tell me if she was pregnant or not. And so I got to relay that message to her, a complete stranger in a bar. And that was very difficult and uncomfortable to tell her, congratulations, you're pregnant.
That certainly sounds like a serious conversation.
Yeah. I don't know what ever happened to her. That was the only conversation I ever had. And I passed the stick back to her.
And when you do have those conversations in the bathroom, at least for me personally, right, you always do the sideways glance to see who else might be in the restroom and if any stalls are occupied. And then that also will therefore direct the conversation, or even if you have a conversation at all, in case there are some anonymous listening ears.
Like who would you be afraid is listening into your bathroom stall conversations? Or second question, what are you discussing with these people in the bathrooms?
Well, I guess would just be concerned that there may be someone that has a differing opinion on the hot topic mm-hmm. that we're talking about. And it really is just whatever the topics are of the day or even of the hour that may come up just because you're maybe continuing conversations right after a meeting, right? I think one of the side effects of everybody meeting on a conference call and being on there for, 30, 60, 90 minutes is as soon as the same people hang up on that call, the nature calls.
Okay, that makes sense. I can get that. I quit the workforce before Zoom and conference calls became a norm, which I feel like they are now. So I didn't, in my workforce experience, didn't necessarily have we finished the call, now I have to use the restroom. But I did experience in my workforce, I shared an office, a private office with one other individual. And so we would be on calls or meetings and we'd retreat to our office and we would have a conversation in there that we did not necessarily have in the meeting or just continuing on thoughts from the meeting that would have been hindered had other people been around.
Well, there you have it. We have another location that we've learned something new about in terms of maybe some people hating to have conversations in the restroom. And other times it can be quite enjoyable.
Nowadays, where I am in life, I do not enjoy conversations. I have a lot of young kids. And so my conversations are usually about bathroom etiquette, not opening the door when you're not ready, and not crawling underneath stall. Do not touch things in the bathroom. But it is interesting to hear from you, who has a different work life, and you're around more adults. I doubt you're asking the adults not to touch things in the bathroom.
That is true, though I have seen my instances of people that don't wash their hands, and just something that, again...
Would you call them out on it? Are there appropriate times that you do?
I'd have to think about that a little bit, but I would definitely put that in the category of something that I would hate to talk to that person about.
The best part of my life right now is that if I saw that, which I have, I'm able to roundabout shame by saying, we always wash our hands after we go to the bathroom, knowing they hear it, without actually saying their name or calling them out on it.
There you go. All right. Well, one other place that I think we may all agree that people hate talking at is court.
I imagine. I've never been.
So I think if you are either in the witness box, you're going to perhaps hate talking about what you may have witnessed. If you're in the jury box, I think you are going to potentially hate talking in front of all the audience and the judge. Mm-hmm. And certainly if you're the accused, I think you're going to even hate talking during any part of any time you have to give your testimony. Mm-hmm. So I think perhaps in court, maybe the only people that don't hate talking are the people that are paid to be there, the lawyers, the expert witnesses, and the judge.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Because they'd have positive reasons to be talking. They're not personally being impacted. They're not going to be in jail, potentially, from what they say or do in that court. Where everybody else, their stakes seem much higher than just a salary. But you've never been on a juror, but I know that's like a personal goal for you. Do you think that you're going to hate it if you ever do get put on a jury?
I could potentially dislike maybe being elected as foreman of the jury. I probably would somehow arrive at that role.
Somehow, yes.
So
instantly.
Instantly. But in that case, perhaps I would not hate talking in court. Lots to think about. All right. Well, from your friends at I Hate Talking, until next time, remember, it is only through talking that we begin the journey to understanding.